Hello and welcome to Three Chord Classical on Radioactive International. This is Hubert Rooney, and this show will be going out on the last Sunday of every month for the foreseeable future, and each month we'll have a different theme. This month the theme is something that is hugely important and very under-recognised feature of many classical pieces, the coda. And this is a show I've always wanted to do, a celebration of the great codas or some great codas. And in case you're wondering what on earth a coda is, here from Beethoven, one of the masters of this, is a short and fantastic example. Was Beethoven's third piano concerto, and that was the first movement, at the end of the first movement, and the coda is the finale, or the final sort of twist, or the final piece, the final bit of the puzzle, if you like, at the end of a longer piece of music. It's usually a longer piece of music that would warrant such a thing, and it just sort of tells you that the whole thing is coming to an end. But it becomes a craft in itself in classical music, how to bring the whole thing together right at the end, the climax or the final act or the final moment of drama. And I'm going to play a couple more examples. This one, another one from Beethoven, from the Violin Concerto. This is the finale, the third movement of the Violin Concerto. And it's another great, great example from Beethoven of how to bring something to a conclusion. Obviously, you don't have the context of the piece that went before it, but Beethoven's codas are so sort of beautifully formed, it probably doesn't matter as much. But anyway, listen to this and see, and then we'll have one from Tchaikovsky straight afterwards, another great symphonist, and then we'll talk a bit more about what's going on.
Thank you.
Tchaikovsky, the piano concerto, the first movement, and the coda right at the end of the first movement. And before that, we had Beethoven's violin concerto, the third movement of the coda at the end of that. It's a piece of classical music, or a feature of classical music, that's quite different from probably any other art form. If you think about novels and films, I think the best they can do with an ending is not let down what's gone before. It's very difficult to make an ending that somehow exceeds expectations or takes you somewhere even better than where you were with the film. You're sort of with it, and the ending takes it all away, and it's over, and you've built all this tension and this anticipation. So it's very difficult to get a payoff or a finale that it keeps up, if you like, or doesn't let you down at the end of a film, or certainly takes you anywhere better. But with music, it's different. You've built up all of these themes and the sound, and you've developed this thing, and the coda can be the moment where it all sort of, I suppose, true familiarity just comes together in the most satisfying way. But there always has to be some kind of a surprise or a twist or something in it. I'm going to play as an example of something where I'll play a little bit more of the actual main movement, because it might give you a better idea of how this works. Not that I'm a technician in this, but just from ear alone. But you'll hear, this is the Chopin Piano Concerto. This is one of my favorite pieces of music, unlike what just went before from Beethoven and Tchaikovsky. Chopin wasn't a master of the orchestra at all. He was very into solo piano and solo piano alone. And actually, after writing some orchestral pieces in his early career, he just gave up and devoted himself entirely to solo piano, which I think is quite odd. But the first piano concerto, the orchestration is quite simple, and it's really just a vehicle for the piano. The piano is the star in this. But what I'm going to play is two excerpts from this that are just completely typically Chopin, the sound and the twist in the music. And it appears once, and then it appears a second time, and then finally it comes in the coda, but it's done in a very different way. Anyway, I'll play the first two appearances to give you an idea, and then you may better appreciate how the coda takes this and twists it all around. So here we are from earlier on in the Chopin Piano Concerto number 1. Very distinctive motif comes in again, and this time it's almost identically played. There's a slight difference in the shading added by the background by the orchestra, but it's almost the same. When you hear it the second time, though, you're familiar with it, and it's quite appealing to hear it the second time. So here it is the second time around, almost the same as the first. Finally, as we come into you can tell you're coming into the last few corners on this, just the sound of the music, the way it's going, you know it's coming to an end. And that motif comes in for the third and final time, but this time it's different, it sounds different, and then it develops and morphs into something completely different again, and climactic in its own right. This is just like the Beethoven and Tchaikovsky before, this is a classic example of really brilliant execution, if you like, or coda, right at the end of a great piece of music. So listen out for that piece a third and final time, and listen to how it changes completely in this. Thank you. what I really love about that is it always sounds like it's coming to an end. It always sounds like it's running on the last straight, but it just does it differently and sort of struts out and stretches out in a completely different way. And I think that's the art of the great coda, is it sounds like a conclusion. It sounds like it seems to make sense. It fits, but yet it surprises you at the same time. I think they say that about great stories as well, don't they? After they happen, they make perfect sense and they're inevitable. But before they happen, you don't know what's going to happen. There's this kind of mixture of the surprising and the obvious at the same time, or the surprising and the reasonable. Anyway, I just thought for good measure we'd throw in one more from Chopin. This is the same concerto. It's the third movement, and it's the coda to that. And it's much simpler and jollier. And even at this, you'll hear a bit of piano that sounds kind of honky-tonk jazz style. And this is, remember, written 180 years ago. So often a feature of great musicians or great creators or great composers, that they sound ahead of their time, or they sound sometimes strangely presciently modern. So here's Chopin again. You're listening to Hubert Rooney on the Three Chord Classical Show on Radioactive International. And that was Chopin and two codas by Chopin. And now I'm going to have one by Liszt. I know I played both Chopin and Liszt last time, but they are great exponents of the piano. And this is a strange one. This is very different to what's gone before. This is not intricate. It's not orchestral. It's not interwoven. All sorts of different things going on. It's really, really the exact opposite. It's incredibly simple. And it's not typical. I know the piece I played last time, the Consolation, was quite simple as well, but Liszt is not typically a simple composer. It's usually very dense and very frantic sometimes, very passionate. And just before the coda, I'm going to play the climax of this as well to give you an idea of that turbulence. So you'll hear just the finale to this. It's Liszt's Gargantuan Piano Sonata, all half an hour of it. Which, to be honest, I don't really care for. I think it's a bit of a mess. But this finale is fantastic. And then it extends out into the coda, which is kind of the wind down, really. And it's very strange because it's you could literally play this yourself. It's just single notes at times and simple chords. And it stretches and stretches. And the reason I really became aware of this was I was listening to it and it seemed like it was over. And I was literally just about to turn around and changed the CD, and more came and more came, and I just very deliberately, sitting sideways in my chair, listened to it. And there's something about the pace and the execution of this that's just really, really compelling, even though it's really, really simple. Either that or I'm just imagining it, but I'd be interested to see or to hear what you thought yourselves. So listen to this. It's the coda at the end of the Liszt piano sonata, and it follows on directly after the climax, the short climax to that, and then extending into the coda. Thank you. a very long coda there from Liszt on his piano sonata. You know that that one is coming to an end for an awful long time, and it just reduces down to something very, very simple, but I, as I said before, I think quite compelling. Now something altogether shorter, and this is again a different type of coda. Again, this is Faure's first movement of Faure's Requiem, and here it's really just a sort of a signature, a sign off, just two bars. And what it is the main elements here are the voices of the choir, and then the coda just sort of comes from beneath, just the lower strings just sort of come up and rise up twice in two repeated gestures, and the thing just comes to an end. It's a really nice, neat finish, very different from Liszt. Liszt was always a bit of a show-off. This is altogether briefer and more concise. That was Faure's Requiem, the first movement of Faure's Requiem, the coda at the end of that. This show is all about codas, and they're the bits at the end of usually quite long movements, not always, but the sort of the wind down or the final twist or the final act, the final straight of whatever that piece is. And that was quite a short and brief one. Sticking with choral music, I'll do a show on choral music later on in the year, probably around Easter, why not? But this is from Berlioz's Requiem. A Requiem in 10 movements. You've got to love any piece of music that's broken into 10 movements. There's just something kind of aspirational about that alone that makes it compelling. But this is a great piece of music, I think. From start to finish, the Requiem, it's very understated, not dissimilar in tone to what you just heard. And this is the coda at the end of the first movement of the Requiem. And it's just... I mean, again, it's coming out of context because we don't have time to play the entire first movement, but it breaks down and then the whole thing just surges up, and it's got that full passion of the choir and the organ and the orchestra coming together. And it's just another type of coda, but similar in tone, certainly, to the last one, but a little bit longer. I decided to play another piece of music by Berlioz. That was the final movement of the 10 from the Requiem, and that was the coda to that. A very sort of pleasing succession of amens in different keys, and again very simple but just pitched perfect. Was it 7 or 8? I lost count. Or was it 10? I got confused. I meant to count, but I forgot to. Anyway, that was Berlioz's Requiem. Now to something really quite unusual in classical music. There's a few examples of this, but not many. And this is definitely the most marked one that I could think of, where a piece of music actually sort of fades out or breaks down or just sort of unbuilds itself, if you like. The various components just sort of fall away and the thing just fizzles out. It's hard to explain, but it's very obvious when you hear it. What I'm going to play now is Shostakovich Symphony 13, the final movement. It's a massive long thing again. I think it's 28 minutes long, and to be honest, I think it's a total mess as a movement. It doesn't hang together. You're missing nothing really, in a sense, before the finale. It doesn't really build to this. And you'll hear just before this starts, it's broken down completely. And then out of nowhere, there's timpani, and suddenly there's this huge sort of thunderstorm finale, which is terrific. It's just vintage Shostakovich. But then after that, there's one huge roll of the drums, which again sounds like thunder. And then you're left with this kind of throbbing, this beating, this pulse. That just slowly disintegrates, dies away, is sort of deconstructed until it breaks down to nothing. At one stage, the beat halves. You can hear that quite clearly. At another stage, the beat stops completely. It's played on the low horns and strings. And then it comes back again. And what it sounds like is actually somebody catching their breath almost and slowly regaining their cool and their calm and just settling and settling. And everything just breaks down slowly and eventually fizzles out and stops. And it really does stick in your mind when you hear it. It's just one of those very distinctive pieces of classical music. Totally different type of coda to what we've had before. And this is definitely one of my favourites. So listen to this. First of all, the grand finale for a couple of minutes. And then over the next 4 or 5 minutes, the wind down of Shostakovich's Symphony number 13. We'll be right back. Shostakovich 13th Symphony there, the coda at the end of the finale. Unusual, as I said, in the way the whole thing just sort of fizzles out after the climax, just deconstructs itself. Shostakovich, like Mahler, another great symphonist, was brilliant at doing things very loud and also very, very quiet, very small, delicate sounds, piecing them together, bringing them in. Makes the music very difficult to listen to on an iPod. Obviously, the dynamic range is so large, but it is great if you can listen to it loud in your house on decent speakers when you get the time and space on your own, which doesn't happen, unfortunately, that often at the moment. But that one is, as I say, particularly good live, played loud and in the room and not through headphones. That was, as I said, Shostakovich's 13th Symphony. Now, two of the best to finish with, two of the best codas. Obviously not going to be very difficult to end a show about codas because there's no end of endings here. But this one is Bruckner's 9th Symphony. He wrote 9 symphonies. This was the final one, which he didn't finish, but he finished the first movement, thank God, because this coda at the end of the first movement is one of the best, certainly his best, and from his best symphony, the bit that survived. Bruckner was a strange fish. All his symphonies are the same, really. They're the same type of thing. It was like he just kept trying to do it better, kind of something I hugely sort of endeared to him about. He even started writing the next symphony before he'd even previewed the last one, before he'd even got any kind of reaction to it. He was just dedicated to doing what he did as well as he could. But amazingly, you can see this improvement in the 7th, 8th and 9th, and in particular the 9th is the best one. In most people's opinion, definitely mine. But this coda right at the end, obviously it would sound better in the context of hearing the entire movement that went before, but we don't have time for that. It's 28 minutes long. But even on its own, I think it sounds superb. It's very cinematic. It just sounds like something, you know, you can pictures just seem to jump into your head when you listen to this. It's just so purposeful and dramatic and emotional. It's quite short compared to some of the ones we've played. And again, you can hear that it is something is winding down. There's a conclusion coming, but there's also a twist. And so hear what you think of this. This is Bruckner's Symphony No. 9, first movement, the coda at the end. Thank you. That was Bruckner to nearly play us out. It would be an appropriate ending, but this one, it's probably my favourite coda of all. This is Richard Strauss. And this coda is nothing more than a pen flick. It's almost like the squiggle you'd put at the end of a signature. But it's just, it's perfection where it comes. Now, we don't have time to play the whole of this. This is the Metamorphosen. It's a rather pompously titled work for string orchestra. It's 26 or 27 minutes long. But I'm going to play the last 5 minutes because it's a great piece of music for the way it just, even though it's continuous, there's no breaks or changes in it. It just kind of keeps your attention from the very first time you listen to it. It has this incredible pacing. It's just like a really good film. As soon as you start watching it, even if you catch it in the middle, you just have to watch it right through to the end. And it is the case with this for me always. But the coda comes right at the end, and it really is just a signature, or even sort of, as I said, the squiggle at the end of a signature. There's just four notes repeated, and on the fourth, the second time, three more, and that's it. And it's like something coming into land and just sort of circling around and then settling on the ground. I think it's understated perfection. I absolutely love this. Great, by the way, to listen if you're on a plane that's coming into land. Very simple rendition, but I've done it before, and it just seems to suit that particular occasion. Unfortunately, you're usually told to turn off your mobile devices, electronic devices, before you get to actually land, but it does sort of suit that scenario very well. But I've enjoyed doing this show. I'll be back again in a month's time on the last Sunday of February. Probably do something on concertos then. If you have any comments, just post them away to the station, and I hope to talk to you then. But I'm going to finish, as I said, with Richard Strauss, the coda from Metamorphosen.